Miss Magic Maggie here from the House of Bliss in San Diego. So this is a public service announcement. I used to use tanning beds because I felt inadequate because I'm a Native American with white skin due to my Druid ancestors. But when I was in the tanning bed, I spread my legs so that I wouldn't have lines. And now I've got two moles on my hoo-hoo on each side. And so I would not suggest using tanning beds. Be blissful, Miss Magic.
On this episode of The Commercial Break,
I was just kind of a mess. And when you leave the house at 17 fucking years old, you don't know anything.
No, you think you do, though.
Oh, I did.
Oh,
yes, I did.
Yes, I got this.
Yeah, I got this. I got this mattress I'm going to take to my stripper's house, my stripper girlfriend's townhouse, and we're going to live there. Little did I know they were running a little side business out of the house. Uh-huh. It was called escorting. People were sneaking in and out of the
windows.
They were opening the sliding glass door at like 3 a.m.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
2:30 a.m. Oh yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and the co-host of this show, Chris and Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chrissy.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. Happy to have you back in studio here with us. Day number two. How you feeling?
Feels
you
great.
Settling back in?
Yes. Feels like a warm, snuggly blanket.
It does kind of, yeah.
I just got back into it. It's our cavernous cave here.
It is
the
very
tree of trust.
The tree of trust, as
yes.
you might. You're in the little nest mm-hmm. with the birds in the tree of
right.
trust. Yeah. And again, thanks to Tina for hopping in.
Absolutely.
She did a great job.
Fantastic.
Just a great job. It was wonderful to sit and have a conversation with her. I actually was responding to some text messages because people were like, love the episodes with Tina. Who is Tina? I don't think I ever explained to those who are new to the show who Tina was. So there must have been four of those messages. Who is Tina?
Who exactly
and how did she get
she?
There? Yeah. Tina
She's a little birdie. She's another little birdie.
She
that
flies around the
nest.
Show. That's right. In the tree of trust. I have been friends with Tina for over 30 years.
Yes.
I have known Tina. She's a family friend. She's a good, dear friend of mine. A little story about Tina that I probably should have told when she was here, but we'll tell it when she's not. When I was living... Did I ever tell you this story about how one night I thought I was getting cocaine and
yes.
we got crystal meth,
yes.
and then we thought we were crystal meth dealers, so we were...
right.
Okay. Tina may or may not have been around me at that time, and I was living in an apartment with a dude who had a job in construction, and he was sober, like hardcore sober, had been an alcoholic and a drug addict for many, many years, and his rules of this house was insane.
How he did had you get hooked up with him?
I was traveling around couches because I was a real fucking shithead. I mean, I wanted to be the next Eddie Vedder,
mm-hmm.
but that's not gainful employment, wanting to be the next Eddie Vedder. That doesn't pay very well. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, no,
especially not when you have a voice like I do. So I was just like couch hopping, and eventually I said to one of my friends, a guy who was also in AA, listen to this story. This is crazy. Okay, here we go. Brian, story time with Brian. I was at a house where it was the weed house. Everyone was smoking weed. It was like a real white man, the white men who didn't think they were white.
White Bob Marley?
Well, more like drug dealers, okay. hardcore, okay. one too many, you know, Snoop Dogg albums, Notorious B.I.G. hanging on the wall. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, and they were dealing, you know, $10 bags of weed out of the mm-hmm. window at the shitty apartment complex. But we all were friends with them, Tina included. And so we would always go to this house. There was always weed around. There was always like drugs, alcohol, all this shit. It was like a den of iniquities. And the crazy shit, I could spend a whole episode just talking about this house. But let me get here. In the afternoon, I was couch surfing somewhere. I probably didn't have a place to stay that night. The guys told me, come crash on our couch. It was a house full of people, as it always was, of weird mm-hmm. people in and out of the house. You know, hold your wallet really tight, like that kind
of
scene.
The land of the misfit toys?
The land of the misfit white people. I mean, that's what it was, right? So I never forget. We're watching TV. They're passing around this joint. I'm hitting it. And I start to get I go super para, like super para.
I remember those days.
I'm just in my head. Mm-hmm. It's all spinning around. I can't breathe. My heart's racing too fast. I'm dead. I'm dying. I can't think. Am I thinking? Am I breathing? Should I think about breathing? Yes. I can't move. And I freaked out. And I called the one person that I thought could help me. And that is a guy from high school who went to AA, who like got sober in high school. He didn't even have enough time to become a drug addict or an alcoholic, but he went straight.
He nipped it in the bud.
Do not pass go.
Yeah.
And still to this day, I believe the guy is sober.
Good for him.
But he was a friend in grade school. He was a friend in high school. So I know I have his phone number in my little black book because back then you didn't have a phone. You had a black book. I open it up. I call him and I mumble jumble my way through a conversation. And an hour later, he is picking me up with his AA sponsor, and we are headed to a Waffle House where the AA sponsor is buying me something to eat and asking me a series of questions. Here's some of the questions. Do you believe that alcohol and drugs is negatively affecting your life or your relationships? And I'm eating like I've never eaten before. And I'm like, uh-huh, definitely, definitely. Mm-hmm. Can I have more waffles?
Yeah.
Yes.
More syrup.
Do you owe any drug dealers any money? Probably.
Yeah.
Yep, definitely. As a matter of fact, I think I still owe the people at that house money. Okay, we're going to figure that out. We're going to figure that out for you. Are you willing to submit to a higher power? Uh-huh, definitely, definitely. Can I have some more syrup with these waffles and some coffee and a high C orange juice,
anything,
please?
Anything you say.
And these guys are so serious. They're just like staring me down and I'm like, ha, 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 ha. Mm-hmm. 24 hours later, I am in a halfway house.
Okay.
A halfway house.
Okay.
For people who have problems with drugs and alcohol.
Yeah.
This was probably, certainly the lowest point in my young life at that point. I didn't know how I got there. I didn't know why I got there. I don't really.
So you had like a room?
I had a room with two other guys.
Okay.
In a shitty apartment complex on Buford Highway.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Where it's an immigrant community. Anybody who's been to Atlanta knows Buford Highway, right?
Fantastic food.
Fantastic food. Probably not the first choice of apartment complexes.
Mm-hmm, no.
And we are in the worst of the worst. And I am now in an apartment complex, and the whole building is this organization that is really just ripping people off. But I'll explain that in a second. So I sign my life away. I'm willing to work. All my money's going to go to these people. These people are going to provide food and shelter and all this other stuff. And I'm like, okay, what, you know, whatever. At that time, you got to understand that I just wanted some kind of stability.
Stability, I was
right?
going to say, yeah.
I'm probably 19 years old at the time. And I did not have the ability to get an apartment on my own. I don't think I had a vehicle at the time. No, I didn't have a vehicle at the time. Didn't have a vehicle at the time. I just wanted some stability.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like this was a way to get some stability. And then I could still have my friendships. This was not that. This became like a whole fucking thing. It was like, basically I was like encompassed in a cocoon of really old men who had very serious problems with drugs and alcohol. And I was like a young kid in this apartment complex. It was crazy,
Chrissy. Okay.
It lasted about 2 weeks. I flew the coop.
I'm sure.
Right? I flew the coop and I had a friend and he said, come live with this guy. He needs a roommate, right? And it's $50 a week. You can live with him. It was in Cobb County, which is a much different.
Were you working at the Trattoria?
I was not yet working at the Trattoria. Okay. That would come about 2 years later. But so what I do is I go and I live with him and then one night, as I've told the story before, we thought we were getting some the girlfriend of this guy. Here were the rules of the house. You can only use this half of the refrigerator. If you touch anything in my side of the refrigerator, I'll break your fucking face. If I hear you after 7 o'clock at night, I'll break your fucking face.
Jeez.
If you turn on the TV after 9 o'clock at night, I'll break your fucking face. If you come in that door and bring friends that I don't know, I'm going to break your fucking face. You cannot be in the living room when I'm watching TV or I'll break your fucking face. This guy was the
meanest
son of a bitch I had ever met in my entire life. And he was sober for many years, but he had learned nothing, but he was sober, right? He had learned the opposite of whatever sober people live.
Right.
So I live with him. Okay. Tina is around me at this time. Tina and I are spending a lot of time together. you know, sometimes he knew Tina, because here's how it goes. I think it was Tina who actually introduced me to this guy, because she knew his girlfriend. His girlfriend was the one that was selling us drugs on the side, and he had no idea that his girlfriend was a drug addict, right?
Okay. Oh, no.
Whatever. So one night, Tina and I are doing whatever we're doing in the room, quiet as mice, probably 3 o'clock in the morning, yeah, you know, whispering to each other. And you think I'm kidding? I'm not kidding. Whispering to each other. And we're looking through the Creative Loafing. And in the Creative Loafing in the back, it's Musicians Wanted, right? And there's one, you know, rock band needs singer, you know, send tapes to this address or call this phone number. So Tina circles it and she says, call this phone number. So the next day, the first thing I do is I call that phone number and they say, come on and drop your shit off, drop your tapes off at this address. So 2 days later, at like 8 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock at night.
Did you have the 33P tapes?
I had the tapes in my bag. Okay. I had all of my lyric books, which are embarrassingly embarrassing.
You found those a little while
I found
back.
Those a little while. Yeah. Well, Chelsea found them. My best friend's wife found them in the back of her car.
That's right. And you were going to do the AI stuff to some. And we did.
We did some of it. But I'll do more of it. Okay. It's bad. It's all bad.
Teenage angst.
So I go to the front door of this office building. It's an office complex. You know, the offices that kind of look like houses, you know, like two-story houses, right brick, the whole nine yards. Where you might see a doctor's office or a small lawyer's office or an accountant or whatever. Okay, so we go to one of these in Buckhead. Tina drives me there and she waits in the car and I go up to the front door and I knock on the door and one of the guys from the band answers the door and he's like, hey, what's up? And I'm like, yeah, I'm Brian. I talked to one of you guys on the phone and, you know. And he's like, cool, you're like early. We're still up here practicing with another guy. So just drop your tapes off and, you know, we'll get back to you. And I'm like, yeah, actually, I kind of drove all the way out here. So can I just like maybe like
hang out?
And he's like, I go, can I maybe get like some of your music so I could put something to it? And he goes, yeah, okay. Come upstairs, sit in this room. And then when we're done, we'll talk to you. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I do that. But I'd never say another word to Tina. And when I, what happens is they get done with auditioning another guy. I go in, I spend the next 2 hours talking and auditioning for them, just right into it. They play music, I start singing.
Yeah.
I grab my lyric book, I start singing. By the end of that 2 hours, I'm in the band. Do you want to live with us? And I have a place to live.
Sweet.
When I come outside, like 4 hours later, Tina is still sitting there. There is no comunicado because there's no way to communicate. No. There are no cell phones. There's nothing. I never thought that she would just sit there and wait
for
me.
Well, she probably, I mean, if it would have been me, I would have thought, well, he's making headway. This is great.
This is it. Yeah. She thought, I'm going to ride his coattails all the way to fame and fortune.
Exactly.
And she still thinks that to this day. That's Tina. Tina is still waiting outside of the commercial break for all of this.
Yeah,
she is a great friend, and she was wonderful when she was here. But Tina and I go so far back; she is intertwined in so much of my history in my misspent youth. And I mean, honestly, I was just a shithead. I was just like, I don't know about shithead. I was lost. I didn't have any direction. Mm-hmm. The parental situation was pretty bad, not because they were bad people, but because they just were also in shitty situations themselves. And so I mean,
four boys is a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
And I was the first of the boys.
Yes.
And so, you know what they say about firsts is that you bang your head on every wall, right? Every rule is more strict for you. Everything you know.
That's so true.
You're trying to figure out how to parent with the first one.
Yeah.
So that the ones behind them get the benefit of some experience. Yes. So I feel bad for my first because I know he's getting the worst version of parenting. We're trying everything and seeing what sticks, you know? You know, being firm and being nice being empathetic and not giving a shit and all this other stuff. And that was my parent. That definitely happened with me. But then in combination with some things that were going on at the house that were not having anything to do with being good or bad parents, just sickness, illness, mental illness. And so I was just kind of a mess. And when you leave the house at 17 fucking years old, you don't know anything.
No, you think you do, though.
Oh, I did.
Oh,
yes, I did.
I got this.
Yeah, I got this. I got this mattress I'm going to take to my stripper's house, my stripper girlfriend's townhouse, and we're going to live there. Little did I know they were running a little side business out of the house. Uh-huh. It was called escorting. People were sneaking in and out of the
windows.
They were opening the sliding glass door at like 3 a.m. I had a mattress that I took from my dad's house. I took a mattress. I took anything I could fit in a backpack. And I took the only clothes that I had, which was an orange 33 shirt. The 33 is kind of always stuck with an orange shirt that had black 33 lettering on it. It was like an old baseball jersey or something. And my green bell-bottom pants and my blue Doc Martens and anything I could fit in a bag.
Your wallet and your chain.
That's it. And a mattress. Mm-hmm. And I took the mattress and we put it on top of a Ford Taurus and we held it down for 17
miles. Oh, God,
months.
The Ford Tauruses. My family had one.
Everyone had a Ford Taurus. You didn't live in the 90s or early 2000s if you didn't have a Ford Taurus. And we went and we moved in with two dancers who... We didn't know it at the time. We're like 4 months behind on rent.
Oh,
but
God.
They were like, if you pay the rent, it's your place. But then we'll also come in and out of the house and hang out. It was a nightmare. And they had a third girl that lived with them down in the bottom of the townhouse. And so you would walk in. It was a three-story. You would walk in. There was a balcony overlooking a big living area and a bedroom off to the right. Yeah. Then there was a bedroom and a kitchen on the middle area with a little dinette. And then you could walk up to the third story and there was a bedroom up there. So, you know, when my friend took the bedroom upstairs, I took the one next to the kitchen. And then I also happened to be like, I would say dating one of the dancers, but I think I would call it dating.
Right.
I think she would call it, does he have any money available? Can he pay the rent?
And he's cute.
Yeah, he's cute. That was cute. That was like a little lost puppy dog.
Mm-hmm.
So like the second night we're there, by the way, the second night we're there, there is no electricity because the girls have had the power shut
off.
That's
right.
So there's no electricity. And that's a whole different story. There's no electricity.
I remember that story.
Everything's dark. It's hot because it's like summertime. It's hot in there, you know, all this. Anyway, so it's like 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, whatever time of night. I go in. I lay down on this bed. Can't remember if this girl Kat was with me or not. But that's irrelevant to the story because... I'm not sleeping very well because of how fucking hot it is and because it's my first time away from home, right? I'm like, and I don't know what I'm doing. And I realized quickly I made a huge mistake.
Yeah.
And my dad, the only reason why he's talking to me is to ask for the mattress back.
That's
all he cares about. He wants his mattress back. I mean, come on. And I hear... And then they had those big, like, blinds, like the plastic blinds on the back sliding door.
Oh, God,
and
I hear in one place, too.
And I was like, Dave? Dave. And then I hear... And then I hear the door downstairs slam. And I'm like, oh, that must be that girl who I did not know all that well. I only met once. But she was living downstairs. Why was she living downstairs? I don't know. She's living downstairs because you're 17 and you don't know shit. You don't know you should sign a lease and there should be only authorized people in your house at any given time. I don't know. I'm thinking like, I guess this is how the real world works.
This is what happens. Yeah.
This is how adults live. They just come in and out of each other's houses at any time. And so I go try to go back to sleep. And then I hear, I'll get a big pop. This goes on for 10 minutes. And then the door opens and closes. And then,
oh, God.
And I'm like, what just happened? Next morning, I wake up or I'm up or whatever. And Dave's, you know, spinning around the kitchen. He was like, "Do you hear that?" Like, and I go, "Did I hear it?" I think I was involved in it. I was so close. I don't know. And he goes, "I think she's a prostitute." And I was like, "What?" And he goes, "I think she's a prostitute." And I'm like, "No, she just had a boyfriend over, snuck back or whatever." So then, you know, later on that day, the other girls come over, the other dancers come over, and I was telling the story. I was like, this is crazy, like 3 o'clock in the morning. And she goes, oh, yeah, that was her client.
Uh-huh.
And I go, oh, she's a she's a sex worker. She's a prostitute. And she goes, oh, yeah. That's how she makes money. Yeah. That's why she's still living here, is because she can pay the rent. And I was like, oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well,
check.
High times. Yeah.
Okay.
I have lived an interesting life.
Yes, you have.
For sure.
Yes.
No
yes,
doubt.
You have.
And someday my children will learn about this life through this
through
podcast.
The podcast. I was going to say, we enjoy hearing about it.
And that's why this is the last commercial break episode ever, and it's all going away tomorrow. So get you download now. Download now. All right. I want to talk about our video. Speaking of Chopper Johnson and 33P.
Yeah, because Chopper Johnson was the band that Chopper you joined at, as part of that last story.
That's right. Chopper Johnson was the band that I joined at that time, and I went and I lived with them. And they were already a regionally successful band, but they had some problems with their lead singer. He also had some drug and alcohol issues himself, so they kicked him out of the band after they had already produced a couple of albums. And I would come to find out that the manager of Chopper Johnson was the manager, get this, of Rush.
Oh, right. That's the Rush connection.
Yes, because the the bass player, Gary.
Similance.
Oh, God, me and Gary. There's always one in the band. There's always one in the band, and it was Gary.
Gary.
We had two Garys, actually. We had a drummer Gary and a bassist Gary. It was Gary and Gary. I like the drummer Gary, but the bassist Gary, man, we didn't get along all that well. Let's put it that
Gary
way.
Gary D?
I think it was Gary D, actually. But the bassist had also found himself out of a home at some point in his life, lived in Canada, and this guy took him in. I think about that story now, and I wonder how weird that is. I mean, I'm just saying. Years later, I reflect upon that story, and I go, huh, interesting. Well, you know.
Yeah, you get a different perspective on things.
Yeah, then you go, cool.
Right.
I mean, Rush ain't my favorite band, but the band manager just takes the street kid in at the tender age of 14 and becomes a pseudo-dad to you. How cool is that?
Right.
And you were what? Passed around the band members? Cool. Awesome. It was life on the road, hopping from tour bus to tour bus. Experiencing what? What? Oh, I don't know about that. I'm 17 and I don't know. But cool, dude. Now I think about it and I go, oh, yeah.
Yep.
Epstein. Release the files. All right, let's take a break because when we get back, I want to tell you that we have an extraordinarily talented video editor, and it's not just about his video editing skills, Chrissy. This kid might have an actual chance of being a musician coming up in the future and doing something with it. Video editing the commercial break reels to 12 people is not might not be
his
lot in life, right? So
I'm excited to hear.
I found him online. He did not bring this to our attention. I found it.
Oh.
And then I said, you got to give me some of this because I'm going to let the audience know just how talented our video editor is.
Nice.
Let's take a listen when we get back.
Hey, it's Rachel, your new voice of God here on TCB. And just like you, I'm wondering just how much longer this podcast can continue. Let's all rejoice that another episode has made it to your ears, and I'll rejoice that my check is in the mail. Speaking of mail, get your free TCB sticker in the mail by going to tcbpodcast.com and visiting the Contact Us page. You can also find the entire commercial break library, audio and video, just in case you want to look at Chrissy, at tcbpodcast.com. Want your voice to be on an episode of the show? Leave us a message at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Tell us how much you love us, and we'll be sure to let the world know on a future episode. Or you could make fun of us. That'd be fine, too. We might not air that, but maybe. Oh, and if you're shy, that's okay. Just send a text. We'll respond. Now I'm going to go check the mailbox for payment while you check out our sponsors, and then we'll return to this episode of the commercial break.
Okay, so a couple of years back, we hired maybe a year and a half ago, we hired a video editing service named Weplash. And they are super fantastic. Essentially, they became members of our team. Now they have, they do other shows and other stuff, but Yihad and our personal editor, the person who's assigned to our show, his name is Kevin. He's a young kid, right?
What's up, Kevin?
He's a young Venezuelan kid, which is just even makes it even more great. It's, the synergy is there. And he's young, right? And he's doing such a great job editing our show and doing our reels, and he's made a difference.
He does do a great job, yes.
He really has. And so I found just by, and I think maybe it was Astrid who kind of turned me onto his social media, and then through scrolling through his social media, I found a video of him singing a song. And I thought to myself, wow, that's pretty good. You know, video editing is one thing he does, but maybe he should think about being a talented musician. Because if there's one thing that Brian knows, it's being a talented musician. Yeah.
And navigating the waters
of
the music
industry.
And
wasting away your life when all that talent is just sitting right inside of you. The commercial, you know, working in radio was just a ploy to get on radio. Working in podcasting is just a ploy to get you to listen to 30 more 33 penis songs if I could find a way. If Spotify would allow me to upload them.
Right.
But I thought, I said to Kevin, I go, dude, you're really talented. And he was like, oh, thanks, man. And I was like, have you ever, you know, done anything with this? And he's like, yeah, not really. Like, here and there I play and I make music for myself. And I'm trying to, like, get people to listen to it. But, you know, that's hard.
That's
it's hard to find an audience. It always is hard to find an audience. Except for some people. I'll give you an example. On Tuesday, coming up this next Tuesday, you're going to hear an interview that I did while Chrissy was gone with a guy named Nacho Redondo, or Nacho Red, from a podcast called EDN, Escuela de Nada, which we have talked about many times on this show before. It's a show from Venezuela. There are three Venezuelans living in Mexico City. They are essentially, you know, in respite from their own country. They can't go back. Mm-hmm. So they're doing this show.
They're huge.
They're huge. They just did Netflix as a joke. They sell out theaters. They had, I think at one point they had like the most Patreon subscribers of any, you know, Spanish podcast. They're huge. Here's why I say that. Because they really did like lightning in a bottle. They didn't have any problem finding their audience.
Uh-huh.
I asked Nacho, how do you do that? How do you get
give us the secret.
Basically,
sauce.
He said, be Venezuelan.
Right.
So from now on, Chrissy and I are going to be doing Duolingo here on the show.
Rosetta Stone.
Going to be translated. But seriously, listen to that episode because it will clock in as the longest episode in commercial break history.
That's what you were
saying.
It's
almost 2 hours. It's insane because I tried to let him go after an hour and he just refused. He was like, no, let's keep talking. And I was like, hey, I'm into it. Cool.
Let's do it.
Anyway, so all this Venezuelan stuff coming to head here. I thought I would let you listen to some of Kevin's music. And if you want to watch youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. He's going to have to edit his own shit.
He is.
Now you're
going to
know what it feels like, Kevin.
Watching him watch us watch him.
Yes. It must be nerve-wracking, actually. I had to give him a heads up. I'm like, I'm going to listen to your music on the show today. So, and let's take a listen. Hold on 1 second, because I think if I'm not mistaken, is this?
Did you load it in?
No, it's not. I didn't load it in. I'm just wondering.
Vaginal farts are...
No, that's not right. Oh, no, that's me on 96.7 The Legend. I thought I had some 33 penis in here and we could do some comparison between the two voices. But let's take a listen. It's just a song. It's like 7 minutes long. Well, let's all get through it. I'll stop if I need to. If you need to take a break, go to the bathroom, get some popcorn.
I'll be good.
Okay, all right. Wait, hold on.
Oh.
Hold on, Kevin. Hold on, dude. Kevin said he hasn't done anything, and here he is in a room full of people listening to his music.
Yeah, he's got a full audience.
That was a little deceptive. I'm already pissed. I'm already pissed at his talent. Kevin's playing the piano.
Oh, he's playing the piano. Yeah. Nice. Sounds beautiful.
We'll be right back. so much better than anything I have ever recorded musically. This is good.
Well, they're not in the retirement home.
Well, that's true.
It's not the same.
It's not the same vibe as the 12 p.m. house party in East Cobb, Georgia.
Right.
When I look into your eyes, I can see a lover's face. Well, darling, when I hold you, talking all I feel the same.
Good old November rain.
This is November rain.
Yeah.
Aye.
Mm-hmm.
See,
Brian, this is what you wanted to do were with Astrid's family and
yes.
the mountains when you sat down to the piano. This is what you were going for.
I was going for this vibe. You
yeah.
know, beautiful falsetto,
yeah.
You know, thick false voice coming through with a vibrato. And what came out was, so take me home. Just set me free. Which is what everybody else who paid $1,000 to be in the Swiss Alps
on New Year's
Eve wanted to hear. They were all here for it.
We've been through this such a long time, it's time to go away. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, love is always coming, love is always coming. You know what's with your shoes, letting go today. Oh, oh, oh.
Got the motions, like he's into it.
The emotion of it. I know.
Fuck this guy, man. Fuck. I needed this. I needed a little bit of sassy sauce to go along with my gravelly voice. If I had a little bit of sassy sauce, if I was a little more Father John Misty and a little less Corey Feldman, then I think I would have had it.
You had a little touch of Tom Morello in there.
Yeah, something.
Or, you know, yeah.
Anything. Yeah, instead of standing there like, I do now. I need some time to lick my wounds from Kevin upstaging me on my own fucking show. I should have never agreed to this. Why did I even come up with the idea?
What a great job.
He's really talented.
Very.
I mean, he's into it. That's mm-hmm. the thing, is that
you can feel the passion.
Yeah, you can paste over a lot of shit when people feel like you're into it, when people feel like you're being authentic, when you're really enjoying the music. I've said this about music. I've said it about podcasting. I've said it a lot about lovemaking. You can paste over a lot of shortcomings.
It works with anything.
It does. I have children, and it proves that it can paste over anything. This reminds me of this conversation we were having yesterday, is that I feel for guys like this who have some modicum of talent, who are going to edit the commercial break for the rest of their lives because there's going to be no play. I wonder if this is in Venezuela. I bet it is. I bet that's where he's doing this, is down in Venezuela. Yeah, you know, Kevin should be practicing his music, is what he should be doing. He should be practicing music so that maybe someday he can find a way to piece that together, to piece the love of his music inside of whatever it is that he does. And that's not an easy thing to do when you're a musician, and getting increasingly difficult. Mm-hmm. And then I look at guys like Corey Feldman, who are out there on tour with Fred Durst. And I go, have you heard the new Corey Feldman?
No.
You haven't heard the new Corey Feldman?
I have not sought that out.
Okay. Well, let me.
But Corey's got a long history.
That's true.
You know,
he's in the entertainment
business.
He's kind
of ride on the
name. Yes. Well, I'll let you know now that Corey Feldman, because of his popularity, has over 8,000 streams on Spotify.
Whoa.
8,000. All right. You want to listen to new Corey Feldman? We'll take a comparison. This is called Characters. He's probably going to sue me for this.
It's doing like a little tambourine.
Yeah, it's very Beatlesque.
We're all just characters.
Oh, no.
It's terrible.
Yeah, talk about being not authentic.
Well, that's the thing about Corey. Mm-hmm. And the difference between, I think, someone like Corey and someone like Kevin. Kevin's there. He's in it. He loves the song. You can tell they've arranged it completely differently. He is invested in the music, not worried about what's going on around him. He's invested in the music, and his whole body is with it. Mm-hmm. Corey Feldman is trying to emulate everybody else. He's trying to be Michael Jackson. He's trying to be the Beatles. He's trying to be some weird version of Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan? That's what I was guessing too. I don't know why I'm picturing what would like a clown face.
He's got a whole AI video that goes along with this, and it's his face morphing into different versions of himself. You're right. That's so weird that you thought that.
Yeah.
It's like Yellow Submarine. Like, that's what it reminds me of. Mm-hmm. It's like some advanced Yellow Submarine video. But then Corey, who I just don't know how to take. I just don't know how to take him. You know, I was talking to Sal Volcano while you were gone.
Yes.
And Sal is a Corey Feldman fan, like a champion of Corey Feldman.
Okay, of his music or the movies or all of it?
I think he's a fan of the movies, mm-hmm. and now he, like me, is caught in this weird space
you are.
Of not knowing whether or not he's pulling the biggest, like, farcical comedy stunt ever, this years-long joke, essentially, this Kaufman-esque prank on everybody, or does he really believe in himself that much? Mm-hmm. Because Corey, the other day, put up on Instagram, after years of toil and trouble through the music industry, all the non-believers, all the people who said nay, I finally have a song being considered for a Grammy.
What?
And it's as a picture. And the picture says, for your consideration. This song, Characters, right? As best song, best editing, best, you know, lighting. I don't know, some bullshit like that. And I'm like, I know what this is. Because we have been a victim of this too. You know those Webby Awards that everyone wants?
Yes.
We got an email one day.
You've been nominated.
You've been nominated to be nominated for consideration.
Yes, nominated to be nominated.
You've been nominated to be nominated for consideration.
Pay this amount of money.
$1,000 fucking dollars. And I did pay $1,000 because I thought all throughout my marketing career, the Webby Award was like the thing you could win. But I worked for companies, or when we owned companies, we didn't think about ever doing that. I thought, and I looked at all the other podcasts who had won, and I was like, yes, why shouldn't we be in the same name as Serial and the Dax Shepard Show?
Uh-huh.
Clearly we are in the same aloof space as they are.
Rarified air.
And for your consideration, give me $1,000.
Yes.
And never to be heard from again until the following year when it happened again. Right. And I didn't bite the second time. But so I looked it up.
Yeah.
And indeed, anyone who is a member of the Recording Academy, which can be anyone who pays their annual membership and is an active musician,
which is a lot,
tens of thousands of people, can be considered for a Grammy. you have to just submit it.
Yeah.
And there are hundreds, maybe sometimes thousands of songs and albums and concerts and lighting guys and engineers that are considered, because consideration is not a nomination. Though even ChatTCB told me that oftentimes people will put together a slick little PR campaign that makes it seem like they have been nominated, but they've really just been considered, which is not any great accomplishment. So Corey pats himself on the back in this congratulatory post about how he, after years of being denied, he finally is being considered. Now, you had a PR firm that finally got on the ball and decided to pick up the phone and say, hey, do me a solid. Will you whack Corey off for 10 seconds and give him one of those posters that says, for your fucking consideration?
Yep, so he can feel special.
That's right. Meanwhile, guys like this will probably, you know, I don't know. But it will be a long road for Kevin to get to that point, I would imagine, because he has to keep, you know, toiling away at this. Mm-hmm. So, but Kevin, really talented, brother. And listen, this isn't the only video that I've seen. I've seen other videos of him that, this is the one he had, when I said, can I share something? He said, share this. But there
I
are
really
other
like it.
Videos out there. So I'll put a link to his social media if you want to give him a follow or take a listen to other stuff he's doing, or just follow us on the commercial break and then you can see what else he's doing. He's doing all of our videos for us on social media.
Yeah.
And while we're on the subject of Venezuela, tune in to my conversation with Nacho Redondo. You would have enjoyed it.
I can't wait. Yes.
Yeah. And the only reason why it ended, and I'll tell you a little like inside baseball, there's two reasons why it ended. The agent, this is funny, actually. Let me tell the story when we get back. I'll tell you the story about Nacho's okay. interview, and then you can listen to it on Tuesday of next week, okay? All right, we'll be back.
Oh, no, 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 no. You just let fly.
Let me do something Brian has never done. Be brief. Follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break. Text or call us 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Visit our website, tcbpodcast.com, for all the audio, video, and your free sticker. Then watch all the videos at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. And finally, share the show. It's the best gift you could give a few aging podcasters. See, Brian? That really wasn't that difficult, now was it? You're welcome.
Okay, so I'll tell this story about Nacho. So first and foremost, as mentioned, Nacho is Redondo, or Nacho Red, is one third of Escuela de Nada, EDN, this fabulously popular podcast, especially amongst Venezuelans. And the other two guys are named Leo and Chris. Okay, so Leo, Chris, and Nacho. When Chrissy and I first started doing the show, we, of course, had the help, the love, and the support of my brother-in-law. My brother-in-law is
Gustavo.
Yes, I've been missing that song.
Gustavo. Gustavo.
Gustavo. So Gustavo, who is long storied in this podcast, he's even shown up on an episode or two.
Yeah, he has.
He told me, he said, you got to listen to this show. You guys, if you could do this, if you could nail this down, this vibe, you guys will have a hit on your hands,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we were like, no problem.
Yeah, no problem.
We'll just do that. Start a Patreon. Copy that.
Yeah, just start
Rinse
a Patreon.
And repeat.
Go on tour.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have six videographers and 12.
Yeah,
I mean, this is an operation.
Easy.
Yeah. Out of Mexico City, where I'm sure the costs are just a little bit, you know, less yeah. than it is here. But I don't know. I'm not really sure. That doesn't take away from anything they've done.
No, God.
But what you also don't understand is that, and what Nacho and I talk a little bit about, is that the Venezuelans are they're a separated people. They're a disparate people. They're all over the world. And EDN provides them some comfort. It's like being at home. Mm-hmm. They're friends when you don't have any. They're familiarity and when you don't, when you're in a new place in a strange land. Chrissy and I were taking a walk on the fucking trail yesterday.
Yes.
And we were talking about EDN.
Yes.
And a guy walked by us listening to EDN. I'm not even kidding you.
No, he really was.
So I say this to say that Gustavo encouraged us from the beginning to get in contact with these guys. Like, hey, you guys could do a cross promo. You got the Venezuelan angle. So I rode these guys a couple different times, once in Spanish, once in English. But of course, I never got any response. I didn't expect. They have thousands and thousands of communications, probably. I never expected any of that. I didn't really expect them to respond. So when our booking agency said Nacho would like to come in, I was like, for sure. When can it happen? Yeah. Well, in the next couple of days, actually. I was like, okay, we'll figure it out. Like, let's do it. So we get on. The agent sends, as a lot of agents do, a prep. Mm-hmm. Here's what Nacho's doing. Here's what he's done. Here's who he is. You know, just in case you don't know, here's some stuff you can listen to. Here's some stuff you can watch. And she says, in no uncertain terms, and replies and replies and replies to our agent and to Astrid and to the, you know, people who booked the show and helped the show. He must be done at the top of the hour. You have 1 hour. He must be done after 1 hour. And I always respect a guest's timeline. It's one of the first things we always say, hey, we got you down for a half an hour, 45 minutes or an hour or whatever.
Yes.
Is that still work? Okay, great. What time do you have to go? You know, just to make sure that we're keeping an eye on the clock. So I'm in the conversation, and when he comes on, we talk for a little bit, and then I say, hey, you know, you got to be done by the top of the hour, right? You got to be out by this time. And he says, yeah, you know, don't worry about it. I'm a little flexible. Don't worry about it, right? You know, an hour sounds good. We'll figure it out. Okay. So I immediately get the sense that the agent is giving him an out, just as we do sometimes.
Right.
When we may not be, it's okay. We may not be familiar. You walk in the studio and all of a sudden you start coughing. It's crazy. Yeah, it is. It's kind of crazy. But it happens. I mean, I'm not bothered by it. As we do sometimes, give ourselves a fail safe.
Yes.
And that fail safe is the time.
If things aren't going well.
Correct. We can bail and we don't seem rude, mm-hmm. right? We can bail and we don't seem rude. It's just the time that we had allotted. It happens very little that we ever feel like it's time to go. But there have been a few times where the clock has literally saved us. Yes, mm-hmm. we have been struggling to the finish line.
Right. I've been looking at the clock.
Yes, keep looking at the clock. So here comes the top of the hour, and I do what I do. I start wrapping up. Well, Nacho Red is currently doing this, and blah, 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 and links in the show notes, and blah, blah, blah. And he goes, hey, man, I can keep going. Like, you know, I don't have to go. I can keep going. Yeah, I'm enjoying the conversation. Like, if you want to go, let's go. And I'm like, I don't have anywhere to be. Let's go. So then we did another 40 minutes. So
wow.
An hour and 40 minutes total that he and I were talking. Great conversation. We went a lot of different places. I think even people who have no idea who Nacho Red are going to enjoy this conversation with Nacho.
And by the way, everybody was super excited in this house.
Oh my God. People were like flying through the hallway. It was as if the king had showed. I don't know what king of what country, but the king of some country. It really was like Mother Teresa. I can't explain how reverential the Venezuelans are, not just in this house, but around the world to EDN. In a lot, they've been on for 9 years. They've been a podcast almost twice as long as we have. They have 1,000 episodes. We have the same. How have they been around twice as long as we have, and we have just as many episodes as they do? We're doing this wrong.
We're
on the wheel. That's right. And they get paid extra for some of their episodes. Jesus, Jones. Well,
you another know, 4 years, Brian.
Another 4 years, and we're going to be making that EDN money. Netflix is a joke. It's right around the corner. Netflix won't even exist by the time we're ready for Netflix is a joke. So top of the hour comes and goes, and Nacho and I are just chitting and chatting. However, my bladder is starting to fill up because I often drink coffee before the show, and the coffee just runs right through me. It's like beer. It's like once the seal's broken.
Yeah, you got to keep going.
Yeah, so I'm kind of starting to fiddle in my chair a little bit, you know, but I want to keep going. Like now it's an endurance contest. Like, okay, we're here. Let's just keep on doing it. And then my phone starts ringing. And it starts ringing. There's only one person who can ring the phone while I'm recording, and that's Astrid. Mm-hmm. That's the only person. But I am assuming that Astrid is calling, so excited to hear how the interview went. And she's calling me to get this, to get the skinny, to get the lowdown, since everybody was, you know, I am nobody when Nacho Red comes in. I just let you know that right now. I am nobody. Nacho Red gives me instant credibility with all my Venezuelan family members and friends. So Astrid's calling, and then she calls again. And then she calls again. And now we're like 25, 30 minutes past. She calls three times. I can see text messages coming through, but I can't read them. And I'm like, ah, stop it. Bother me. You know, I'm doing it. I'm going.
I got so much to tell you.
So much to tell you, but you got to let me finish. And then all of a sudden, Nacho's wife pops in. Nacho's wife is an extraordinarily famous Mexican actress. She's like really famous.
That's so cool.
And she pops in because I can see him turn his head. Mm-hmm. And he goes, hey, honey, come here. I want you to meet Brian. Like, come here.
I love it when the interviewees have us meet people that are coming in.
Me too. It happened with...
it's a few different people.
Who?
Was it Hannah? Hannah and Dez.
I think it happened with Hannah and Dez.
Then we met somebody else's aunt.
We met somebody's aunt. Uh-huh. That was the woman who's married to the firefighter. Oh my God, yes, she's one of my favorite. Now I can't think of her. She just said hi to us on the commercial break. She just commented on one of our reels. It's happened a couple different times where the loved ones or somebody else pops in.
Reggie.
Reggie. Mm-hmm. That's happened. Yes, that has happened also. So I love that. It means they have a level of comfort.
Yeah, it's nice.
And they're excited to share what they're doing, whatever. And so, you know, he introduces, and I can't hear her because she's not on the microphone. But I can tell her, you know, she's being polite to me, and she can't hear me. But I can tell she's like,
time to go.
Yeah. So I get off. So, okay. All right. So I get off the phone.
I love this.
So we get off. So he says, okay, man. And I said, okay, man. All right. We got to go. All right. So then I check the text messages. You have to get off the phone. Are you still on with Nacho? You have to get off. He's late. He's got to go. He's got to go somewhere else. And where he had to go was to record EDN.
Oh,
and
right.
Like, you know, they have an actual place where they go. And, you know, there's people waiting for them and stuff like that. The limo's outside. I don't know. Something's going on. And I'm like, oh, shit. You know, I didn't know. And so there's this hubbub, this big thing. Okay. So. But here's the best part of the story. So anyway, so then I call Astrid and I'm like, this is what happened. So, okay, everyone's calmed down now. It was just, you know, we're just having fun and we went too long. And Nacho's Nacho. He can control his own time.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, he's the star of the interview.
Okay. So during at the beginning of the phone call, I say to Nacho, one of the reasons why you're here is because Gustavo is a huge fan of yours. And if you have 1 second after we get done, can you record him a little? Hey, Gustavo.
I mean, what a great brother-in-law.
Thank you.
What a great brother-in-law.
I was thinking of them the whole time. And so I'm like, because Nacho reminded me of Gustavo.
Yeah.
The two of them, they have similar mannerisms. They certainly have similar senses of humor.
Uh-huh.
And now I know why. Because Gustavo has spent about half his life
listening to
EDN. Yeah. So I say, if you can do me one favor and just like say hello to him on the microphone and congratulate him on his engagement and his graduation from grad school. Like, I certainly would appreciate it. And so we're getting off the phone, and we had exchanged phone numbers. And he says, after he's going, I'll send something to you in a little while, right? And I said, okay, great. Don't worry about it. Whatever.
Yeah, that's your leisure. About
2 hours later, I get a video from Nacho. And the video is not just Nacho, it's Leo and Chris. So it's the entirety of EDN, right? And they are all doing salutations, greetings, and busting Gustavo's balls.
That's a great video.
About this whole thing. It's a great video to the degree where Gustavo didn't know if it was real or not. Yeah. He thought it was some kind of AI program that I had.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, no, brother, that's real. And he's like, I'm still having a hard time believing that they're talking about me. And I'm like, yes, they are. This was like the best. And I'm going to leave the joke to be private between they made it a joke and it was really funny. And I'm going to leave that between Gustavo and EDN. Like, but these guys were so great. These guys were so great and gracious because, you know, that it's not just Nacho that had to take the time. Nacho had to explain to the other guys in the room why we're talking to some stranger named Gustavo about his graduation and his engagement.
Oh, that's so nice. Wow.
When I'm sure, and I don't know this for a fact, but I'm sure they could probably charge, you know, $50 for a meet and greet afterwards.
Or on Cameo.
Yeah, on Cameo for something like that. Man, to be in the lofty the lofty like headspace of EDM. I just have a lot. I have mad respect for these guys. They have done something that very few podcasts have done, and that has nothing to do with numbers. We've had numbers. We've had almost 100 million downloads. I mean, we have nothing to complain about. They have done something as far as community mm-hmm, is concerned, mm-hmm. and we have the best listeners in the world. And those of you who talk to us, I can't tell you how much we love you and the letters that we get. Yes. And the people who, you know, buy the merch and listen every time. And all of that said, the immense amount of human beings that are just in love with this show, EDN, is phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's a phenomenal success. But I have often said, and I think I need to remember this. We are lucky bastards to be doing what we do and make any money whatsoever, let alone be able to kind of support ourselves, right?
Yeah, we just said that on our best friend walk yesterday.
That's right, on our best friend walk. Yes. This is a pretty fucking good. We have it pretty fucking good.
Like, when I tell people what I do, it's like, yeah, I get to laugh with my best friend every week on a podcast and make a tiny bit of money doing it.
It's amazing.
It's great.
It's amazing. And then many people that are sitting in our seats, many podcasters out there, would die to have five people fill a room and listen to what they have to say. Mm-hmm. I know some of them personally. I know podcasters who have been doing this just as long as we have, that have nowhere near the number of people listening that we do. And they still do it week after week because there's those 2 or 3 or 5, 10 people that listen mm-hmm. to them. So, you know, if we could probably fill an arena with people that listen to this show on a monthly basis. So I would say that it's, you know, it's a lucky
not
thing.
Not buy tickets to the arena.
No, no, you wouldn't buy the tickets. If you happen to be in the arena at the time that we were recording, then that's what I meant. That's right. Buy the tickets.
Somebody was playing at that beach. What was the beach? The beach we were going to play at in Florida.
Oh, I can't remember. I was going to say Temecula, but it's not Temecula. Yeah. Oh, we never said it right. No. What was it? It was the beach.
DeLuca Beach.
Miami. Yeah. Miami. It was north of Miami. Yeah.
But anyways.
Someone was playing there?
Yeah. I think it might have been it was another person I was listening to, and they couldn't say it right either.
Okay, good. Well, then it's not just us.
Right?
Yeah, everyone says it wrong because it's just Miami. But then they demanded that we don't say Miami. Yeah. But then Sam Morril came in and we were like, it wasn't the best selling tickets in the world for us. And Sam was like, I sell that place out 50 nights a year. And I was like, oh, fuck you. Fuck you, Sam. I saw Sam doing some commercial for men's clothing, like Stitch Fix or something like that. A whole thing.
Okay.
Was it Sam? No.
No. No, you're thinking of Jeremy.
Jeremy? Piven? No. I'm thinking of a comedian.
That was a clothing thing too, wasn't it? He did?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, but it's not the same guy. It was not Sam that was doing it. I'll think of the name of the comedian. It's one of the guys that he travels with. It's a guy he does the podcast with.
Okay.
So Jeremy Piven. Jeremy Piven. Have we told this story?
We have not told the story.
Okay. Mm-mm. I'm going to give you a bite, and then you're going to have to tune in tomorrow for the next part of this. Jeremy Piven is the only guest we have literally refused to interview with, to do an interview with, even when he was right here on the studio.
Yeah, we had to make an emergency call.
We had to make an emergency call, and we did.
We did.
We bailed. We got the
What's
fuck
that?
Out. Yeah.
What's that? Huh? Let's reconnect.
Yeah, let's reconnect. Have your agent call my agent. Can't hear you. Can hear you perfectly fine, but I still can't hear you. You look great, but it's kind of fuzzy. It's recording just fine, but something's wrong. Not sure what it is, but I guess all the rumors are true.
Mm-hmm.
Jerk off. Yeah. I'll tell this story probably at my own expense. Probably Bella will kill me, but you know, it's my story, Bella. I get to tell it, okay? All right.
That's true. It happened to us.
It did. Bella's the best.
You and I looked at each other and we were like,
we're out.
We're out.
See you later. Not going to do this. Not going to do this. I am going to tell this story. Who fucking cares?
That's a pretty funny story. Gosh, you could show the video, too. Because that was the part that really...
I do have the video. Yeah. Well, we're always looking for PR. I bet that would cause... But will it? But
PR and content.
PR and content. But I think, oh, that would be a story that some people would hang... But is Jeremy Piven is a douchebag? Is that really
a
story?
I don't know that people would be surprised.
Yeah, that's not breaking news. I think he is the character that he plays. I think that's just it.
That was our experience.
Yeah. Go watch his new Men's Line commercial and you'll see that he is that person. That is who he is. And I'll tell the entire story. We'll go all through it tomorrow. Stay tuned. Hold on to your seats, kids. We'll get through it together.
Yeah, I think enough time has passed now that we could talk about it.
Yeah, it's been like 6 months since it happened. Yeah, and I thought we were maybe not doing Jeremy a favor, but we were lending him some grace by saying yes in the first place. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't see Theo Vaughn bending over backwards to have Jeremy Piven on. So, not that Theo and the commercial break are anything like each other. Theo has 24 million social media followers. We have 24 social media followers. But you get the point. I didn't see Jeremy like running all to every comedy podcast in town, as a lot of people do sometimes when they're going on the circuit. I didn't see him doing that. So, but you know, whatever.
Yeah.
All right, we'll tell this story tomorrow. 212-433-3TCB. 212-433-3822. Questions, comments, concerns, content ideas. We take them all. Get involved in the conversation. We would love to hear from you. It would be our honor, be our pleasure, be our joy. It would make our day. That's what I'm trying to say to you. Also, you can get your free sticker at tcbpodcast.com. Go to the Contact Us button. Drop-down menu says, I want my free sticker. Give us your address. We'll send you one. At the commercial break on Instagram, TCB Podcast on TikTok, and YouTube.com/TheCommercialBreak for all the episodes on video, same day they air here on the audio. Okay, Chrissy, that's all I can do for now.
I think so.
I love you.
And I love you.
Best to you.
Best to you.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, we will say, we do say, and we must say.
Goodbye. Bye.